Welcome back, folks. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Gary Sheffield Jr. And today we are Yankees Unloaded. I mean, we're Yankees Unloaded every day, but today is Yankees Unloaded, and the Yankees won 4-3. We're going to talk about a lot, Gary. We're going to talk about, obviously, a win is a win, and we're happy about it. But also, I think this is definitely kind of... It's definitely a win, and you feel good about it, but it is the A's. You want to see them win by more than one run. And you also want to see them do more than just have one explosive first inning and then just be boring the rest of the day. Really liked what I saw out of Stroman. 9 strikeouts. You know, obviously, I know he gave up, 7 hits, and I mean, it looked like today was, even though you can't tell because it was 4-3, it looked like they corked the balls today.
We're not used to seeing him miss bats like that. I mean, he's usually a sinker ball guy, tries to be efficient, but Stroman was missing bats today. He really was. So, yeah, the whole reason that we bring sinker ballers in here is that at Yankee Stadium, they can keep the ball on the ground, so that's always nice. So, overall, liked what Stroman did. I thought he kind of lost control a little bit here and there, but to be honest with you, overall, I mean, we're talking about Marcus Stroman 2-1 with a ERA under 3. We're getting what we paid for when it comes to Marcus Stroman. So we're very happy with that. But the elephant in the room, and I think we always were going to get to that point in this show, after a win, we want to make sure that it feels positive after a win, because it always usually should be. But it seemed like this team was going to unlock the type of day that this offense needed, the type of day that we said that this team needed, with some guys, frankly, who were struggling. Anthony Volpe has been struggling. Aaron Judge has been struggling. And we kind of hoped that this Oakland series was going to unlock them, if you will. And we always try to remind people that this is still a Major League Baseball team. They had a really slow start, and since then, Oakland's been playing some pretty decent baseball. They haven't been atrocious. Like, a lot of people look at the A's and picture the White Sox. No, this A's team is not terrible. They definitely have some standout talent around the field, and I can't say we've taken them lightly, but overall, I mean, I watched that first inning thinking, okay, we're about to have ourselves a day. And from innings 2-9, we look sort of like the offense we've looked like in the last 10 days. And Jake, I brought up a stat, and my buddy Eddie, who works at Barstool, messaged me and said, hey man, do you know how many innings this New York Yankees team has scored in the last 5 games? And I had no idea. It was 4. 4 innings this offense has scored. And I get it. There's a lot of guys on this team who have usually struggled early on, poor weather, it's cold, wind maybe blowing in, like Anthony Rizzo. But good God, that is not good. Everyone else is hitting in this weather, maybe not to the standards of summertime, but to the point of where we flat out aren't scoring. I mean, Jake, it's a little bit disappointing. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like the personnel this year is just at a completely different level, and guys just flat out aren't performing.
Yeah. I mean, I think really what it comes down to is the pitching, which was the biggest question mark, I thought, unfairly. But we went to bat for the pitching, right?
We
stuck up for them. And I think they've been better than anybody could have expected. I mean, to be 16-8 and have an offense that is really lackluster, I mean, when do they score more than 5 runs? I said it the other day, but it really just doesn't feel like they score more than 5 runs. And, you know, the Yankees in, say, 2022 were a team that would score like 8, 9, 10. They'd have those days, you know, and it feels weird. And, you know, the thing that feels weird, and weird is also like not a good thing as well. Like, it, you know, sometimes weird is just weird, but sometimes like there's also kind of like a negativity to it.
Right.
And I feel like there's a negativity to the weirdness that we're seeing with this offense. Like, tell me this isn't for real. Like, tell me.
It seems like we're talking ourselves into why this is acceptable. Now, again, we're going to continue rooting for these guys. We always will.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. You can always make the excuse that, you know what? It's early on. Judge missed spring training. he's off to a late, you know, he got off to a late start. You can say that Wells is trying to get his feet up under him. It's year two, right? Cabrera, same thing.
The Yes Network broadcast was forcing Judge so hard right now. They were forcing. I love Yes Network. I think Rucco and Flaherty are really good together. But oh my God, they were forcing Judge. They really were. Like the whole he missed a home run by a little bit. Right? It was like, oh, he's getting there. Well, I mean, we saw him hit a home run in Arizona. We thought that was, oh, that's it. Remember, we went on the show and we're like, that's it. That something just cracked, something unlocked, and then he went into a slump. And, you know, I understand reaching and hoping, you know, he wins it and everything and you know, comes out on top and is back to normal. But I'm just going to wait. Like, I'm just going to wait until it happens. I'm not going to sit here and try to make myself feel better or you feel better or anybody feel better and just be like, yeah, you know, he's getting there. I just don't feel like that's not, first off, conducive to an actual, like, you know, discussion, I think, like a valid discussion, because at that point we're putting out things that don't really matter. Like, oh yeah, he might be there. But I mean, based on what analysis, anyone might be there. You know, based on what analysis, what statistical output, what I will say, okay. And I saw this on Twitter and I thought it was very interesting, even though Twitter does not exist. I knew you would be ready for that. So I had to throw it out there. But I thought it was really interesting. I got to find it because there was a graph that showed, oh, perfect. So Scott Chu, okay. Aaron Judge has slumped like this before multiple times, even in 2022. So I'm going to send this over to you. And we might be able to put it on the screen at some point as well when I, you know, edit this. But this is, I thought, really fascinating, because if this is
a repeat
case, well, I'm not looking at it necessarily like that. It's a pattern, but the pattern almost seems like it's about to go way up. Because if you look at the pattern, like based on the pattern, he is at the bottom right now. He's not even the lowest he's been. But I thought that was really fascinating, Gary. It's a Fangraphs graph, and it's weighted on base average from 2022 to 2024.
Okay, so based on what we're seeing, and this is out of Fangraphs,
mm-hmm.
my opinion on this is the floor of these numbers, it's not league average.
No, okay. It's not. It's not.
This is the difference between, and remember, Jake, I mentioned this earlier on in the season, towards the beginning of the year, when I said, if Giancarlo Stanton can give us these ebbs and flows of offense, it's a win. And it's exactly what we need. Like, yeah, do we want a consistent superstar for the money we paid? Of course. I mean, Giancarlo would like to give you the consistency, right, that he had in 2017. We would all love that. But to see this, I think the judgment on Aaron Judge, no pun intended, is that he was a player who struggled right out the gate in his rookie year. And then pretty much he was part of the Baby Bombers and figured it out ever since. Ever since then, he's been Aaron Judge. And I think that we kind of just forget here in New York, in our market, we kind of forget the ebbs and flows that come with this career. As long as those flows do happen, we tend to be forgiving. And I know that a lot of people think that Yankees fans are really harsh on their players. And I'm here to tell you, my opinion on it is that that is just not true. This Yankees fan base,
it's no different than any fan base.
Not at all. They'll wait on you. If you come out and you show that you can be productive, we're going to remember that you were productive. You were part of the solution. And so I think looking at this chart, I mean, thank God we can find something to grab onto. I'm not going to say that this means that Aaron Judge is just going to be nuclear in a month, but based on the trends, you know what it kind of reminds me of? It reminds me of Bryce Harper. You remember those Bryce Harper things? He was hitting free agency. Everyone said, hey, he hit 237 last year. He won the MVP this year. Who do I expect next year? Because that was the topic at hand. Who do we expect going forward? And so based on this chart, I mean, if you read into it, which I'm trying not to, I'm trying to just accept that Aaron Judge is just going to be Aaron Judge at some point, unless physically there's just something they're not telling us. So
yeah, there was something else I saw from Yankees Light, and I'm going to try to find it here, but I thought it was really fascinating because they brought up like the whole, well, we haven't been told Aaron Judge is injured, you know, and people are assuming that. Okay, here it is. After returning from the toe injury in 2023, Aaron Judge hit to a 164 WRC plus. That's 455 expected on base average, I think. Anyway, over the remainder of the season, if Judge's early 24 slump is health related, it would likely be the spring core issue, not the toe. His data is not particularly concerning at the moment. I kind of agree. I mean, I think we should just let it play out. I've seen, you know, I mean, Rizzo looked like the best hitter in baseball the first month of the year last year. Remember that?
He did. He was hitting like 320.
Yeah. And then, you know, after that, he's hitting 188 and people bring up the concussion, but it was starting to happen before the concussion. So, you know, I guess baseball's weird. I mean, we talk about it all the time, mentioned it early on in the show, you know, one of the first episodes. I mean, let's be honest here. Like, Tino Martinez had 12 home runs in like a week. That's just, it's baseball. Like, guys go through, and again, these are all professional baseball players. So they're going to have their moments, but they're also going to have their moments of, you know, being down and, you know, and I think I've already said this and I stick by it. I think Torres is going to have a huge May. Hopefully. I feel really good about that. I mean,
I kind of agree with you, but okay. So do you remember how you just said that sometimes players just don't play well? Like, and this could be short term, and short term is one season. I think we can both agree. A really good player can have a down year. We've seen it. Like Trey Turner last year was not Trey Turner.
Because I drafted him number one in fantasy.
That's the source of the problem. So, so screw you, Jake. But Trey Turner wasn't Trey Turner last year. And there's portions of the season where he was Trey Turner. There was a point where you saw those flashes of that talent.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia's fans were like, do we cheer this guy? Do we boo this guy? Like, do we boo the shit out of him? Like, what do we do? And there were topics on MLB Network earlier this morning. I was watching it and they were talking about whether or not Judge should be booed or can he be booed. And I think we should address that on this show later today. But what's so interesting is that superstar players, again, to bring this back, they can have bad years. And I want to bring this back to Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper is a guy who's a two-time MVP. This is a superstar, future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
In 2018, he hit 249. Okay. The year prior, he hit 319. This is a player that after hitting 320, you just expect, okay, well, when's the rebound happen? The following year, he hit 260, 268. The following year after that, 268. So you're sitting there thinking, who is this player? When is he going to come back to being Bryce Harper? Because we're all looking at Aaron Judge thinking, well, it's only a matter of time. Following year, he hits 309. Ever since then, he's been a superstar. So it just goes to show you that you can be Aaron Judge and still be that superstar. But potentially the timing just doesn't work. Maybe you get off to a slow start. Who knows what the issue is? It could be partially health related. But when people tell me, okay, I'm expecting Aaron Judge to just come back to superstardom, I agree with that overall, but where I hesitate is where people just expect you go from hitting a .180 to, okay, in a month and a half, it warms up. I expect Aaron Judge to just be hitting .325 for the month. And I get that's his ceiling. It's something he's done in the past, and I wouldn't be shocked for him to do it, but I can't just pencil it in. Something's got to be up. At some form or another, whether or not it's a mechanical issue for Bryce Harper, it was mechanics. He talked about it. It actually was me dropping my hands. So there's been some people, some content creators out there. We're going to eventually pull it up on our show, but they were talking about, hey, I see this difference. I see that difference with his swing, his load, all these different things. I'm sure there's something physically that Aaron Judge is doing that's not what he's done for the course of his career. So hopefully it's that. As ridiculous as that is to say, that I hope that something mechanical is off, because the alternative is physical. And we can't deal with that. Not now.
No.
Right, we cannot deal with that, because right now we are in a short-term marriage with Juan Soto. And of course, this can end up into a 13-year career in pinstripes. But as of now, we need Aaron Judge to bounce back to be exactly who he was. Maybe not last year, but just the median Aaron Judge. That would suffice. So, yeah, I just hesitate to tell people he's just going to kick back into superstardom. Something's got, in terms of data, has got to tell us that that's on the way.
I agree. I mean, I don't think you should just automatically assume anything. I think Judge has earned the right to at least be optimistic that he's going to turn it around. You know, I would probably wager he has a 320 month. I'm not going to say it's May. It'll probably be like August or, you know, whatever. But I mean, he'll probably have a 320 month. It's just right now, I'm going to be honest with you. Everything we preached in that first episode about why, what's his face? Snell. Why Snell holding out is a really bad move. Everything that we preached was spot on. Snell has not looked good, right? And he didn't get a training. He really didn't get any sort of spring training. Like, I mean, no preview, nothing. Just kind of threw him right in. And then you have Aaron Judge, who did, but then he got hurt. So they had to, like, you know, they wanted to lighten the workload, and then they eventually just pulled him, you know, entirely. And it makes you wonder if, like, man, spring training is really the key to everything. Cause I mean, Soto didn't really take any time off of spring training, you know.
Is a light workload? This is my question. And I actually would be curious to know what people in the chat think about this. And Jake, I'm actually asking you, is it better to take no reps in spring training or to go half ass? I guess that's the real question, because you have to remember,
we discussed
Oswaldo Cabrera, and we gave him a ton of credit because we showed that he got out the gates hot. We didn't expect him to. I know you've spoken relatively high about him, and but not exactly to this level. We didn't expect him to be top of the level output. Top of the lineup output. So having said that, the fact that he got off to a hot start and then we sat him against a bunch of lefties and then he just got back in there and competed and gave us an output again.
One of the most underrated
consistent reps
parts of the year, honestly.
Absolutely. So having said that, when you are doing something consistently and there's going to be ebbs and flows, you're going to play poorly and then 2 weeks later, you're going to play great. Well, what's it like on the body and on an athlete overall if that player plays and then the next day he's worrying about his health? He's not exactly focusing on adjustments on the field. He's not focusing on the coaching staff and what they can be doing. No, it is, we are going to slow you down. We'll see you Wednesday. And then Wednesday comes, we'll give you an extra today. Then Thursday, you're a little sore. You'll play Friday. You play Friday. You do okay, then you sit another 4 days. How helpful is that, really? And how conducive is it to show up into a regular season? Because in my opinion, if you don't get out to a hot start, it's almost like you're just training your body to try and stay healthy, and it's not even remotely revved up to the point where you're even focused on your output. And then by the time you're worrying about your output, you're hitting a buck 50. And everyone's asking why you're not hitting any homers, you're not driving in any runs. And so I just think when you combine pressure and then a lack of rhythm, it leads us here.
I agree with that. I think it's better, to answer your question, to not have spring training at all. than to half-ass it.
Interesting.
Because, and here's why. So being that you and I both played baseball before, and you just mentioned the mechanical thing with Judge, people don't understand that I've never played baseball. You'll start doing stuff, even though your body has the muscle memory, you'll do one thing differently, one at bat, and now you're doing it every time. And you can't figure out why, and you don't even know what it is without actually having video. It's very much like golf. So, like, for instance, I had a load step, and then, you know, I had a toe tap. You know, I had the toe tap, and I think one at bat, I can remember, I, like, shifted my weight a little bit, like, too much on the toe, and it actually made the ball have, like, I basically gave the guy a free breaking ball. So,
oh God.
Yeah. So now
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So now I'm in a position where the next time I go up at the plate, I do it again, and I'm not even thinking about it. And it looks like, why can't I hit the ball? I'm swinging perfectly. Looks like I'm going to hit it. And then the ball it goes right through my bat. What gives? Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're half-assing spring training, like, that's not good, because essentially the things, the mechanics and everything that you need fine-tuned and you need in shape, and you need it to, like, because literally anything that you do with your swing can throw it off. Like, I don't know. I don't like that. I would just rather not have spring training. You.
Yeah, it can let you down, right? I mean, muscle memory can just let you down. I mean, your whole point right now is that your body may think that you're doing this and you really could be doing this.
Yeah.
Your body can lie to you. And Aaron Judge, when he's right, the results are there, man.
Absolutely.
The results are what they are. There's a reason we paid him that type of money, is because we know, oh yeah, that looks like Aaron Judge right there. I mean, it's you see the way the ball carries out the stadium and electrifies the crowd. Everyone knows when Aaron Judge is right. I mean, that's just a given. But what happens when Aaron Judge is not playing well? Well, he's looking at it and he's telling us, at least that's the message he's giving us, is that he's feeling 100%. It's not something physical. That's what they're telling us. So we have to go on that. So what that tells us is that Aaron Judge's muscle memory, as of now, has not caught up with his skill set. And so that's what we're looking at. And that's the whole point, I guess, of spring training, is that you get game speed reps. And we talked about it. You brought it up earlier in the show. Blake Snell skipped that. He trusted Scott Boras. He trusted other parties that skipping that process was in his best interest. Because financially, in the short term, it'll be in your best interest. He ends up, long behold, signing, I believe, a 2-year, $66 million deal. And as of now, it's looking like he's going to pitch like booty.
He has 11 ERA, I think.
Yeah, it's like 11. Yeah. And at some point or another, I'm expecting to see some version of Blake Snell, kind of like the way that we're assuming that Aaron Judge is going to hit the rebound. Mm-hmm. But, man, it kind of goes to show you the importance of revving it up in baseball. We talked about it with Rodon last year. You'd expect, okay, well, Rodon was hurt in spring training. He came out slow. His velo was down. We talked about it all day long on Yes Network. And you could make the assumption that Carlos Rodon is probably going to be throwing 96, 97 miles an hour by All-Star break. He's going to finally hit the ground running. He's going to get going, and he's going to be that two behind Gerrit Cole. Not so fast. Didn't happen. So back to what you were saying. Is it better to have no reps, or is it better to be half-ass? And I think we're finding out right now, at the very least, hopefully Judge is healthy, but those reps that we did give him didn't seem like they helped.
Yeah, I think it's better to ramp it up, because I think it's a slow process. I mean, you're getting your body back. Hey, it's no different than, you know, going to high school again, right? And you get up and you have to get ready, get it, you know, early in the morning, go to school, and it's like, oh my God, I'm seeing everybody again, and you know, it's a new school year and everything. But before that, during the summer, you might have had the worst, like, habits, right? You might have stayed up and all, you might have just done all nighters every night, you know. And then you go to school, now you have to get up early, so then you have to be more diligent going to bed a little bit earlier, you know. And it's like, that to me, that's kind of how I equate that, because you have that time off, you know, winter meetings and all that, and now it's your job to really, you have to go there and you have to start getting your body in shape, because I mean, you're making all this money and everything, you can't let your team down, you can't let your organization down, you can't let yourself down. So you go there, and to me, it's like, you know, anybody that half-asses spring training, I mean, isn't like practice like really important? I mean, there's basketball practices all the time. The NBA teams have them all the time. I don't know with baseball. I truly don't know. But like, it's open with basketball. Everyone knows about, you know, basketball. Everyone knows about hockey, you know, with the, you know, the open ice morning skates and things like that. You know, and of course, football, like we already, you know, that's like they have a practice report every day. So that's the thing with baseball. We don't really get any of that. And
we also don't really get any. Does it feel like it's transparent when it comes to health with this team? Let's just talk about baseball. Let's talk about the Yankees. If Aaron Judge really was hurt, right, to some degree, do you think they'd tell us?
It's funny. I have probably, like, the teams that I like, the Yankees, Vegas Knights, Rams, like, none of these teams are transparent at all. Like, the Knights, I didn't even know what was going on with Mark Stone. He was just ready to go for the first game of the playoffs.
Like, they don't tell us.
They don't tell us anything.
Like, it's an advantage to just, well, we'll just, we'll keep that close to our chest, because if we tell you guys the information, you guys are going to do something with it. You're going to coerce us into a decision that otherwise we wouldn't make. Maybe we would rush ourselves into a decision. Maybe we rush Aaron Judge on the field or whatever happened.
Don't even get me started with the Lakers and Kendrick Nunn. He like hit his knee on the coffee table and then was out for like the entire year.
It's a joke. It's a joke. And the funniest part is, what does it really hurt of them telling us the truth? Because people are guessing all over the place. And the reason they're guessing about whether or not Aaron Judge is healthy, is he not? Or is it just the fact that he missed spring training and then he's just out of whack and then he'll eventually get there? See, no one actually knows. And the reason we don't know and we can't say for sure is because of the past lack of transparency. And I think that's what's just so crazy about this organization. So I'll say this. We are very fortunate that this team is pitching to this level, to which on this program, especially Jake, I'll say more than myself, Jake talked about believing in, not really believing in the staff per se, but believing in some of the young players that could potentially come up and help. Also believing in Matt Blake, most importantly. So having said that, I mean, we're looking at a team, again, a New York Yankees team that's pitching to a level that's higher than what most people expected. Not a surprise. Shouldn't be, at least. And we are underperforming and we're not delivering offensively.
Somehow we're not still winning it. Baseball games.
And we are finding ways to win, which is better than nothing. So,
but that catches up to you. This is not sustainable. And I think that's why we brought it up. We're not trying to be negative here. It's just the reality is none of this is sustainable. You can't continue to just pull these out. I mean, Clay Holmes has 9 saves. He's leading the majors in saves because they don't blow anybody out. It's always a close game.
It's always a close game.
That's why he has 9 saves.
Every game we win, the tying runs at the plate. Every single game.
It's unreal. And I mean, that's no way to live, you know? I mean, seriously. Like, so now you're constantly, as a team, you're constantly letting teams get close to you and taking your lead. I mean, here's why. This is why the Yankees have 16 wins. Because they have a 2.95 ERA, which is the third best team ERA in the league.
Good Lord.
They also have the most saves, 12. The next team has 8. If that doesn't tell you, so that means 12 games were within striking distance for the other team.
And part of those are positive, right? Because we're going to discuss both sides. The Yankees, again, were leading in, we're at least one of the top teams in comeback victories. So part of that is also going to go into Clay Holmes' ability to get a save, because Holmes was great today. So, but having said all that, Yeah. You're going to pile up the holds. You're going to pile up the saves. When you're winning games and you just can't score more than three or four runs, it seems, yeah, the closer's going to get a lot of burn. And right now, and remember,
I guess we could be the White Sox. The they have 45 runs on the year.
The Chicago White Sox.
They have 45 and 22 games. The Yankees, who we're complaining about right now after winning, have 123. They have 40. Oh, no.
The Chicago White Sox are not a serious organization. Any podcasts, I feel bad for the podcasters more than anything else. Could you imagine doing this show every day? And we were covering the Chicago White Sox. I couldn't would do it. Dissolve.
How do you grow? No one wants to watch that.
Like, I don't know.
Views are probably in the toilet. The A's have 20 more runs total than the White Sox. Let's just put it that way. No, I was looking though, Gary. So Yankees are 15th in total runs scored, right?
Okay. Middle of the pack.
They're 21st in hits. They're 22nd in doubles. They are one of only two teams, them and the Astros, without a triple. They are 16th in home runs. RBIs, they're 18th. Total bases, they're 22nd. Walks, they're still first because of the crazy start they got off to. They don't really walk as much anymore.
We're not going to hit a damn triple all year. Who on this team can hit a triple?
Volpe.
Volpe.
20th in strikeouts, which is good. That's good. I like that.
Okay.
18th in stolen bases. 20th in batting average. 7th in on-base percentage. 21st in slugging. And 18th in OBS. OPS, not OBS. So
that's how you know he's a streaming nerd.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about this. I mean, you know, we talked about the pitching. That's a big reason why they're winning. Also, the on-base percentage. They're 7th in the league. So, really, those walks, those hit-by-pitches, if you're Anthony Rizzo crowding the plate like that, I mean, that's also what's helping them steal games. Because, I mean, you can't just pitch well, give up four runs, and win a game. Like, you have to actually score, you know, runs. They're scoring runs. Like, they're not the White Sox who are averaging two runs a game, you know? But they're not scoring tons of runs, and they're definitely not scoring what we're accustomed to. Like, go back to, say, I don't know, 2022, right? They're second in the league in runs, only behind the Dodgers that year. You know, that team really could have won a World Series, especially if they got this pitching, 2022.
Okay. Oh, of course. No, you're absolutely right. No, that's this team right now. I would just say that our floor is really low offensively coming into the game. Our floor is nothing. And our ceiling is just three or four.
And
that's
maybe
our ceiling right now.
Dare I say it, maybe we overreacted to the approach a little bit because the Yankees led the league in walks in 2022. Like, I say this all the time. The 2022 team could have won the World Series. They are way better than people even realize. I mean, like I said, they had 11 more home runs than the Braves. First place. They were first in home runs, 254.
But where were we in 2022 in terms of strikeouts? Because I remember, if my mind serves me correctly,
13th.
That's interesting.
So what I always say is that 2022 was actually, that was the year. Why do you think people in 2023 were expecting a World Series? Because to battle from this, this was a really good, you had set the tone. Like, this was one of the better Yankee teams that I don't think people talk about because they didn't win anything. But in reality, you know, we complain home run or strikeout and all that. Their on base percentage was, they were fourth in the league. Most home runs, you know, I mean, the hits, they're 16th, but runs, they're scoring runs, they're second in the league. Now, 2023, I think this is the thing that happened. Ready for this? 2022, they were on a tear. Like, if they had a natural progression, 2023 should have been the year they won the World Series. However, that's not what happened. The roster regressed big time. And so in 2023, they scored 25, the 25th most runs in the league. So what I'm about to say is this. The Yankees 2023 team, I think, and this isn't like a hot take. I mean, I'm sure anybody would agree. The Yankees 2023 team has us kind of overreacting to anything we see on the 2024 team, because it's the first time in a while where the Yankees were that bad. And it really, like, you talk to anybody, they like already forget about 2022, man. Like, that team was good. That team should have won a World Series.
Well, 2022, that's Gallo's year, right?
That was, yeah, that was
the Gallo. Okay, year. So realistically, what happened with that team is, I think the reason people forget is that the focus was on Joey Gallo and how bad he was. He was terrible. And
I know.
And I get it. That's just one player, where we've all learned one player doesn't change really much when it comes to an entire organization. But having said that, Joey Gallo was the topic of conversation. And then to kind of go back to, because you said we didn't win anything. It wasn't that we didn't just win nothing. We went out there and got swept by the one team
that you just
mattered.
Yeah.
When we got swept by the Houston Astros, it pretty much invalidated everything. It invalidates what you average. It invalidates how many times you walked. It makes you forget what the approach was, right? So now that we went into 2024, I think that we care about approach, especially here on this channel, but we just had such little impact from the left side of the dish that it almost felt like the Yankees were always destined to win over the course of the regular season, which we'd always done, by the way. We had always won regular season games. You get to the postseason, you see some power right-hander, whether it be out the bullpen or it be starting a game. And then sure enough, you're seeing all the same guys who walked 100 times, who hit 285 in the regular season, hit a bunch of homers. They'd all get shut down all in succession. It seemed like every at bat was the same. It was redundant. And we were just anemic. And then we came into this year. They bring in Verdugo, who's a guy who gets doubles in bunches. He's not going to strike out. And that's proven true. We bring in Juan Soto. He's delivered. But a lot of the guys that we saw, whether it be strong second half performance last year or just overall in their careers, they have not hit yet. They're just not hitting. Now, you can say like, okay, Rizzo offensively, he could be over the hill. Whatever someone's opinion is on these different players not performing and why they think that is, they're not hitting. So when these guys are just being average for what they do in their career, this team is going to be great. So I'm not going to say like, this team just will be great. They still have to go out there and play the damn game. So it's not just a given that you're just going to revert back to who you normally are. No, you just might be ass this year offensively. That might be who you individually are. So I can't just assume people are just going to bounce back. And then we're like, well, shit, if he bounces back, we're going to go win 103 games. Yeah, but you still have to go do the work. There's a reason that baseball is, if I'm not mistaken, one of the hardest games and one of the hardest things to do in sports is to hit the ball. So I'm not going to sit around and just make assumptions for these guys and make assumptions that they're just going to return back to form. You got to go do it. And there are a lot of guys in that 2022 year that you penciled in that did a lot of damage and people forget it. So
they do.
It's got to happen now. Otherwise, I mean, not this second, but if we're going to go into Baltimore, which we're about to do, you're not going to be able to score a max of 2 or 3 runs in a series and expect to walk out there with your head held high.
Absolutely not. The Orioles are right now third in the league in runs, 126. And Milwaukee, by the way, they're eighth, 116.
So Milwaukee, you got those surprises me.
They've been interesting this year. I mean, you mentioned the Dodgers are fun, you know, a few podcasts ago, and they have 124 runs. Yankees have 100. I mean, they're both winning games. I mean, I think the Yankees might have a better record than them right now. They do. Dodgers are 14-11. But the Dodgers, when they win games, they blow teams out. It's more fun. I think I would take this over that, but
absolutely.
At some point, you know, I'm glad we brought this up because I feel like it's not overanalyzing at this point. It's really like, hey, this is the challenge, Yankees. Go out and score more than 5 runs. Like, seriously.
If we do that, we're not losing shit. We're not losing games. Well, we don't have to.
As long as you keep Caleb Ferguson far away from a mound.
Yep. I think that's just fair. I don't really have anything to change about that. But Matt Blake, they're going to go out there and win games. I don't have to make projections for him. They're going to be probably what they've been doing. I mean, look at them.
Yeah.
So if you guys can go out there and deliver freaking anything,
I want to know.
We're going to be fine.
It doesn't even make any logical sense that they scored 4 in the first inning. They got to Blackburn and they're like, oh, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
all systems go.
Blackburn was a tough matchup coming in. We talked about it. And I had them winning this game, but I thought Blackburn was going to be a little bit of a problem because he doesn't give up home runs. And then he gave up the home run to Rizzo. And Stanton, oh my God. I mean, you could hear that when he crushed that one to, it was a double, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, so essentially we scored 4 in the first inning. Everyone sat around and said, oh, I guess we're good. This is the A's and we'll chill. Everyone will take their big swings. But I mean, we said before this game even started, Blackburn's been pitching well, and you mentioned that, yeah, he doesn't allow people to leave the ballpark, and thankfully we did in the first inning. We never did anything after that, and we mentioned this. Oakland's bullpen is very good, so anytime these games are close, it's a crapshoot. And
how excited were you that Mason wasn't in there?
How happy was I? Well, I mean, I was happy, but I just felt like every game that we're winning by the skin of our teeth, we're just going to win. Like, it just kind of feels like we're finding ways to win games. It's just not with our bats. Like, it just seems like we are a veteran team that forgot their bats at home.
I mean, you can't really talk. You can't find your bat.
I can't find my freaking bat.
Oh, man.
Where is this damn thing?
It was part of the show. Now it's gone.
I actually have no idea. I have another bat. Actually, hold on. I'm actually gonna grab this bat. Jake, say something because I'm grabbing this bat.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, Clay Holmes has been really dominant, and he had another 2 strikeout performance. Great save. But I gotta give Ferguson credit. Didn't give up a run. Marinaccio, by the way. I don't care what anyone says. Marinaccio looks like Marinaccio did 2 years ago.
We've been talking about him.
I'm happy for the guy because it has to be a slap in the face. And I'm not saying the Yankees were wrong, but it has to be a slap in the face knowing you were such a key part of the bullpen 2 years ago on a really good team. And then this one starts and it's like, yeah, you're going to go to AAA. Like, to start the season in AAA when you've already had a taste of the Bronx, a big taste of the Bronx, that has to suck. But
hey, Jake, can you tell me who this is?
I can't read that.
That is Mariano Rivera.
How about that?
This is a bat I literally just found in the garage. This is the entire 04 Yankees, the entire team, literally everyone, pitchers, hitters, everybody.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so eventually we're going to hang this in the background, but so I'm not going to be able to use it for the show. But yeah, back to what you were saying, Marinaccio, however you want to say it, he's been good. And obviously he hasn't pitched a ton, but he's been very good. And I liked him when he was pitching before, so I'm not surprised. And I'm not worried about – people are really worried about Ferguson. Like, they really are, and I know you are. But I don't really give a rat's ass because we've always had those human cigars, victory cigars for the other team. There's always one dude.
Boone Logan?
Who's the guy I said who was just atrocious? Remember?
Lou Trevino?
No. No. He was bad too. No, I'm not saying
he comes in is like, oh, so you inherited all the runners on base. I'm going to give the ball up and my ERA is going to go up at all.
No, who was the dude? He was like, he had like red hair. Remember? Oh, gosh.
Well, Brooks Krisky was
hilarious to watch. Remember Brooks Krisky?
I remember Chase and Shreve.
Oh my God. It was almost like he didn't know what the objective was. Like, right? Like he
that one guy looked like John Cena. Oh, what was his name? He was good though. Scott Proctor.
I remember his number. He was number 43.
Yeah.
I remember Scott Proctor.
Yeah, Proctor could throw. I liked Kyle Farnsworth had his moments, but I liked him.
Yeah.
Tom Gordon. Oh my God. I loved watching Tom Gordon, dude.
Tom Gordon.
He would come in and you just knew the door was shut because his stuff was disgusting. It was like, oh, thank God he's out. Oh my God. It's Mariano Rivera. Like you were just done. It was, you know, eighth, ninth, boom. And that's,
it was nice.
That, yeah, it was nice. Do they have that? I really like Ian Hamilton. I think he's an absolute baller. I don't think they have that because I think Tom Gordon was just on another level, especially like during that run with the Yankees. His stuff was disgusting. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, I mean, you can say we had it when we had what was it, Betances? Chapman. Well, we had it then. I mean, good God, it was almost like we were short.
Andrew Miller and Chapman.
It was stupid.
Why did they do that? That was so ridiculous. That was like obnoxious.
We spent like $80 million a year on bullpen guys.
And they'll probably go back to that. If no one steps up, I think that they're going to try and trade for somebody.
Okay, like a Devin Williams?
Yeah.
Later on, because I know he's hurt. So I guess we'll see. But Milwaukee's playing. Remember, I said Milwaukee, if they're not playing well, but shit, I mean.
I mean, if the Guardians fall off a cliff, then Class A. But
well, I want either Class A or what's his face out of Oakland. So,
oh yeah, Mason Miller.
Yeah, if they'll treat us, please. Well, Frank Cashman's already looking at him.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's that was the good thing about him dominating the Yankees. They all saw that. They all saw his stuff. They're like, okay. Those pro scouts, man, were salivating. And you know, they're probably pro scouts at that Yankees A's game that are from like the West Coast. They're just like, they just happen to be there for that game.
Well, let's be realistic. The Yankees right now, our offense is making every right-hander look like Curt Schilling and all the lefties look like Johan Santana. So it's unfortunate, but I'm expecting it to change. I have no data to show why I think it'll change. It's just me talking out my ass. But based on the median of where these guys tend to perform, that's kind of where the bar is. And hopefully they can revert and rubber band back to our expectations, because some guys have outperformed our expectations. We didn't expect to get literally anything out of Giancarlo this year, as much as we were rooting for him to play this way. And then there's been other players that, like Gleyber Torres playing in a contract year, and of course, Aaron Judge, they're just not playing well.
They better get after John Boyle or Joe Boyle tomorrow.
I have no expectations at all. My expectations are we're going to be winning 2-1 in the eighth. And again, that doesn't mean it's set in stone. But again, nothing has happened in the short term for me to say that they're going to just go out there and do their jobs. So I expect them to win because we're obviously a winning baseball team and we have that grit, but you got to hit for me to predict you're going to hit again. I mean, you can't just have me talking up here.
I hear you. Clark Schmidt tomorrow, coming off, you know, one of his better starts. We'll see what happens. 3.15 ERA, 1.55 whip. He's been pretty darn good. And he's going up against Joe Boyle, who has a 7.23 ERA, 1.71 whip.
AKA Curt Schilling tomorrow.
He has not been very good, but I'm sure that'll change because he's going up against the Yankees. 7:05 Eastern time. Be sure to check that out and then check us out afterwards. Announcement though, due to the fact the NFL draft will be on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I will not be here until Saturday. So Gary is going to lead the solo show. So
he's
going
to try and get me to work all the tech. And we'll see how that goes, but I'm expecting to learn it, and it's going to be a great time as always. So we have some of the best audience on YouTube, and it's only up from here. So we appreciate you guys as always.
As always. So you guys can follow us at Yankees Unloaded, at JK Bogan, and at Gary Sheffield Jr. if you would like to on all social media. And I will see you guys tomorrow.
And like this video.